Good morning. It's good to see you all again. And greetings to our Zoom brothers and sisters. So this is a very familiar story to us. There was even a children's song that was written about Zacchaeus. And so it is a very popular story in the Bible. But the theme that I see in this story of Zacchaeus is about being lost and found. The gospel tells us how God feels about the lost. In the song today, this morning, we sang about that God came to save the lost. And we are all lost. And Zacchaeus was lost and he was found. So that's our passage for today. But before we go on, let's pray. Dear God, our Father, we just want to thank you once again for bringing us together to praise you and to come together as a community to come to your table. And thank you for giving us this time to learn more about your heart that you pursue all of us, pursued humanity and came to redeem all of us. So we just ask for your blessing now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So this passage is found in Luke 19. It's the only gospel that wrote about Zacchaeus. The other gospels did not mention Zacchaeus. But this story happened in Jericho. And it was during the last travel of Jesus to Jerusalem. So he started, here's a map on the right side. He started from Galilee and he traveled south. This is after 3 years of preaching about the gospel of the kingdom of God. This was 3 years of ministry of Jesus. So it's 3 years after all the miracles with all those calling of the disciples and all of that. So he has been through a lot already up to this point. So now he's heading to Jerusalem where he would die and give his life for all people. And he took that journey towards Jericho at the bottom and Jericho to Jerusalem. And it's interesting, it just occurred to me that at that point here, he was going to go through Samaria. So he sent some advance party to tell the Samaritans, hey, Jesus is coming through Samaria. And the Samaritans did not let him. You know, and John and his brother said, Lord, do you want us to call out thunder and lightning to these people? So the thunder brothers were very adamant about that. But if Jesus was allowed to go through Samaria during this travel, he would not have had to go through Jericho. So this story of Zacchaeus would not have been written. I mean, I was just assuming that. But that's just interesting note. So what is Jericho? Jericho is the oldest city in the Middle East to this time. It was a prosperous oasis city during Jesus' time. And it was known as the city of palm trees. It was in this oasis where it's a destination for travelers. So it's a gateway for travelers from the east towards Jerusalem. So there's a lot of commuting and traveling, and even the parable of Samaritan mentioned Jericho because there's this traveler who wants to go to Jericho, or the priest, they want to go to Jericho, and the Levites. So Jericho is a wealthy hub that attracted the elites during that time. And during this time also, before we go to the story of Zacchaeus, when Jesus entered Jericho, there's this story of the blind beggar. And the beggar noticed Jesus, or the blind was told that Jesus is passing by. So he shouted, Lord Jesus, please heal me. So he was shouting and asking Jesus to heal him. So Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. So that's the backdrop of Zacchaeus' story. You have Jesus coming down with his entourage. He had his disciples. He had his other disciples following him, not just the 12 apostles. Before this story, Jesus sent out the 72, two by two. Remember that? to the different towns and preach the gospel, preach the kingdom of God. So there's more than 12 in this party who is walking towards Jerusalem. So it's a big crowd. And then you have this community, the crowd from Jericho. They heard about the miracles of Jesus, the feeding of 5,000, the feeding of 4,000, all those stories. So people were drawn to this crowd of Jesus moving through Jericho. And then they saw this blind man healed. So more people came and were interested to see Jesus. So that's the backdrop of chapter 19. So now we go to the story of Zacchaeus. Remember, in the original writing of the Bible, there were no chapter breaks or there were no verses. So the stories just flow together. So chapter 18 of Luke and chapter 19 were just one story, a continuous flow. So let's read through 1 to verse 10, verses 1 to verse 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Verse 7, all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That's the purpose statement of Jesus in verse 10. The Son of Man came to seek and search, pursue, and save the lost. It reminds us of the parables of the lost sheep. Remember, the one was lost, he left the 99 to search for the lost one sheep. And then the parable of the lost coin and the prodigal son or the lost son. So the theme of the Gospel of Luke seems to indicate about Jesus coming to earth to save sinners and to save the lost. So who was Zacchaeus? As we read, he was a tax collector. He was very wealthy. So during that time, being a tax collector, you have to bid on the privilege of having that business. So he was rich originally, so he bid on it and he got the job. But he was collecting for the Romans. And he was collecting from the Jews to pay the Romans. And on top of that, he charged them extra to line his pocket, to recover his bid. It's a business, good business at that time. And the people, of course, who likes people who ask you for money? you want to continue paying taxes? We want tax breaks, right? But since the Roman Empire is occupying the land at that time, the tax collectors were treated as traitors. They were looked at as traitors and sinners. People hated them, and they didn't want to associate with them. They were like outcast. And so in the eyes of Jesus, though, the tax collectors are precious, lost children of God as well. And in fact, tax collectors are often mentioned in the Gospels along with sinners, the tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors were also called publicans. And I researched on the term publican, and publican is derived from the Latin word publicanus, I think, meaning public contractor. So they're public contractor to the Romans to collect revenue for the government. So in ancient Rome, these contractors collected the taxes for the Roman governors, and they often charge extra over what's required of them for their own profit. That's how Zacchaeus became wealthy, and he was the chief tax collector. That means he has other tax collectors under him. This is in Jericho, which is, as I said, a busy city with travelers and commerce going through, traveling to Jerusalem and out of Jerusalem. The other cities in Israel at that time was up north, where Matthew was also a tax collector. There was another town, I think, in Caesarea, who has this tax collection system. Zacchaeus also means his name was pure, innocent. And apparently he was not living up to his name's meaning. He wasn't pure in the eyes of the Jews. So, as I mentioned, Matthew was a tax collector. And I just want to read this passage because Jesus called him and he left everything. He left his business and followed Jesus and devoted his life to him. When Matthew gave his life to Jesus, he invited him to his house and invited all the tax collectors, his friends, and other sinners. And the Pharisees called out this event and told his disciples, Jesus' disciples, that why is your master eating together with all these tax collectors and sinners? Doesn't he know that they are defiled? So Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And of course, everyone was sinner at that time. There is no one righteous. All of us are sinners. All of us are lost. And Jesus came to search for all sinners. In Luke 18 also, there's another parable about tax collector. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. If you remember this story, Jesus mentioned about this when the disciples were wondering about, it's about the children, but he told this parable about the Pharisee who went to the temple and prayed. And the Pharisee was saying, "God, I'm thankful that I'm not like all these sinners, including this tax collector behind me." But the tax collector stood at a distance in verse 13. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Jesus said, "I tell you that this man, rather than the Pharisee, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." So this is a story, a parable in chapter 18 of Luke, right before the story of Zacchaeus. And so I was wondering, was Jesus thinking about Zacchaeus when he told this parable? Maybe he knew that Zacchaeus was a humble person, that he's like pictured in this parable. As we see in the passage, Zacchaeus was a very humble man. So Zacchaeus was curious, but he had a problem. The passage tells us that he's short in stature. And with this big crowd around Jesus passing through Jericho, he couldn't see Jesus. So he had a childlike humility to run ahead of the crowd and climbed a tree. You know, that time, an adult famous man would not run and would not climb a tree. That's only running and climbing trees is only for children. So that was a disgrace. He was willing to do that because he wanted to see Jesus. I mean, the passage tells us he was short in stature. I read that in archaeology, the average height of male skeletons during Jesus' time was 5 feet to 5 foot five. So that was the average height. So if Zacchaeus was mentioned here as short, he must be less than five. He must be less than the average. So think of Danny DeVito, maybe, on robe, climbing up a tree. This also changes the way I think about Jesus. In movies, they show this picture of Jesus as a white, tall man with long hair, right? So he was a Jew born with the Jewish DNA, so he couldn't be that 6 feet with a British accent, right? So this showed a childlike humility of Zacchaeus. And in chapter 18, okay, I'm always going back to chapter 18 because it connects to the story of Zacchaeus. Jesus had this encounter with the children because his disciples were arguing towards each other, arguing who is the best, who is the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus told them this statement here. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked him. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." The most prominent characteristics of a child is the humble attitude. It's like the surrender to parents fully. And as children of God, we also have this surrenderness to our God, the Father, for everything, for our eternal life, for our salvation, for our forgiveness. And that's what Zacchaeus had. He was looking for Jesus, but Jesus was actually searching for him as well. In the passage, it says, I'm going to read from the Passion Translation here. Oh, Jesus found Zacchaeus, and he knew him by name. He called him, "Zacchaeus, come down here." And it was like he had a divine appointment with Jesus. And Jesus invited himself in. And because of that, Zacchaeus was full of joy. In the Passion Translation, it says, "When Jesus got up to that place, he looked up into the tree and said, 'Zacchaeus, hurry on down, for I must stay at your house today.'" Notice that Jesus looked up to Zacchaeus, while the Jews and the community were looking down at Zacchaeus as a sinner, as a traitor. Jesus looked up and called Zacchaeus by name. How did he know Zacchaeus? I don't know. Maybe Zacchaeus and Matthew were friends, and because they were both tax collectors, and Zacchaeus heard all about this story of Matthew and the tax collectors being friends with Jesus. So he was also convicted that this is the Messiah. So he was waiting for the Messiah. Again, these are just assumptions that we can make because they were not in the Bible. And then he said, "I must stay at your house today, not tomorrow, today." And as Americans in our culture, when somebody asks you for, "Can we have dinner at your house?" you would look at your calendar in your iPhone and say, "Let me see, maybe Friday next week? Yes, that's a good time." And in Middle Eastern culture, this is normal. When you are close friends, you can visit somebody without telling them that you're coming, unannounced. And whatever food they have, they would be happy to feed you, shawarma or anything. It's a sign of a close friendship. And this behavior is rooted in a strong tradition of hospitality and community, where showing up unannounced is common, and refusing food is seen as rude. So whatever they put on the table, you have to eat and enjoy. What was happening there is more of the community, the relationship. And the food is just an added bonus. It's a normal part of life, social life in the Middle East. So he came face to face with Jesus. So he scurried down the tree and found himself face to face with Jesus. There were many stories of face to face encounter with Jesus. We can remember about Peter. He did not believe Jesus was the Messiah, but when Jesus told him to throw the net after a night of fishing, they didn't catch anything. Peter threw the net and two boats were full of fish and almost sinking. And Peter's reaction was, "Lord, get away from me, for I am a sinner." Because at that point, Peter had a face-to-face encounter with the divine, with the Lord, with the Messiah, with the Holy of Holies. And many other stories in the Bible. Paul had an encounter with Jesus as a light on his way to Damascus. So think of Jesus as the shepherd who leaves the 99 to find the one. Except in Zacchaeus' case, this one is hiding up in a sycamore tree. So no matter how far we've drifted from God, Jesus knows our name. And his invitation, "I must stay at your house today," shows his urgency to bring salvation and not condemnation. Do you remember when you first encountered Jesus? I can remember way back when I was a little boy. I just thought about eternity and seeing dead people that relatives died and they're not here anymore. What about me? What will I be? And that was the inspiration that I got from God at that point. And from then on, I searched for God and tried to be good because I didn't want to go stop existing and not be forever alive with God. Not go to heaven because I was Catholic. You either go to heaven or somewhere else. So this encounter changed Zacchaeus' life for good. He was lost. Jesus searched for him and Jesus found him and his life changed. That's as we see in the next verses. Zacchaeus, in the Passion Translation, was amazed over his gracious visit to his home and joyously welcomed Jesus. You see, it's not just coming to dinner. And it's not just Jesus who came. It's all his party, his disciples, and his friends with him. And more likely, they stayed there overnight. So Zacchaeus was so happy that him, a sinner, a traitor, then he was selected out of thousands of people in Jericho at that time to stay with overnight. He was picked by Jesus. Jesus picked him and his house to stay in. But being wealthy, of course, I can imagine that his house was like staying in a 5-star hotel. He has a lot of servants maybe and a lot of room in his house. So Zacchaeus stood in front of the Lord and said, there is some humor here because Zacchaeus was short and Luke said he stood in front of the Lord. Is he standing or sitting? That's just a humor in my mind. But he said, half of all that I own, I will give to the poor. And Lord, if I have cheated anyone, I promise to pay them back 4 times as much as I stole. This is a change, a total change for Zacchaeus. He was amassing wealth all these years. He is getting wealthy. Business is good. But I imagine that he was also empty because he didn't have this relationship with God. And he thought he was separated from God because of what he's been doing. But when Jesus came to his house, Jesus came into his heart as well. And he saw grace. He found grace in his house. And that changed him. The verse here, I read somewhere that when he said, if I have cheated anyone, the other translation could be, since I have cheated everyone, because it's normal for them to charge extra. So he said he would give half of his wealth and pay others whom he cheated 4 times as much. So Jesus said to him, your repentance shows that today life or salvation has come to you and your household, and that you are a true son of Abraham. Because you have put faith in God and in me, you are a true son of Abraham. The Son of Man has come to seek out and to give life to those who are lost. So that's the story of Zacchaeus. He started the day hearing about this crowd going through Jericho, and then he ended his day as a changed man. And that's what happens when we encounter Jesus and the grace of God. That's what happens when sinner encounters the forgiveness of God. That's what happens when the lost is found. It is no longer the same man. He is now living a found life. He is now a found man. An example that I can think of right now is John Newton, the former slave trader who wrote Amazing Grace. Remember his story? He was a slave trader, and when he found Jesus, he changed. And when he was saved, he didn't just sing about grace. He became an advocate against the very evil he once profited from. That's the power of a found life. And that's what the Holy Spirit does to us when we are saved and we give our lives to Jesus. Real salvation shows itself in transformed priorities. The lost don't stay lost. They start living differently because Jesus now lives in them. Jesus now lives in us. So in concluding thoughts, the lessons we learn from Zacchaeus is that we are all lost. Humanity is all lost and in need of a Savior. And the Lord came. He became one of us to save us by dying at the cross. And having a childlike humility is a key, as he said. You will see me if you humble yourself as a child. Just surrender and believe in what I did and who I am. And he knew us. He calls us by name. Can you imagine that? God knows each of us. And the Bible says there is an angel ministering to each of us. Can you think about that? There's so many angels here today looking out for us. We are now found in Jesus Christ because Jesus found us. And through the church, the Holy Spirit still seeks the lost in the world today. So Zacchaeus climbed a tree to see Jesus, but Jesus climbed a cross to save Zacchaeus and all of us. The Son of Man still seeks and saves the lost today. Let us join him because we are all in Christ. And there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, our Father, we thank you. Thank you that you sent your Son to search us, to seek us, and to die for us, to save us, the lost. So we thank you for helping us to understand these mysteries, that you are our loving God and you will always love us, no matter what. And it's not because of who we are, but because of who you are. It's your love that saves us. And through Jesus Christ, we are now found, that we're no longer lost. And so help us, Lord, to live that found life through your Spirit in us. And we pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.